There have been 49 murders in Charlotte this year, which is more than double the number compared to this time in 2016. On Monday, we visited the North Tryon Division, where 10 murders have occurred. We heard from residents who live there and the officers who patrol the area. Tonight, a Charlotte Talks Public Conversations broadcast focuses on the city's growing homicide problem. That event starts at 7 p.m. at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. Today, we hear from the family of one of the first victims of the year. His name was Jabari Stewart. WFAE's Sarah D'Elia spoke to Stewart's sister and brother-in-law, who are trying to pick up the pieces of their lives after his murder.
When Patrice Warren decided she wanted to move away from New Jersey in 2009, she decided Charlotte would be her new home. And it was for a simple reason. It was where her baby brother lived.
I've lived in Virginia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, California. And prior to January 4th, Charlotte, hands down, was the best place I had ever lived until this tragedy.
On January 4th, 38-year-old Jabari Stewart was murdered in his home around 7 p.m. So far, there are no updates in his case. Patrice describes him this way.
If you were under the impression that he was your friend, he was your friend. He meant that, and he lived that. There are some other sides to us all, but when we talk about the very cloth of a person, the character, his moral standing, he was a good person, and that has followed him from birth to now. There is 6 years between me and Jabari, and that was my baby doll. So losing him is more than losing a sibling, which is challenging in itself. It's like losing a child.
Anthony Warren, Patrice's husband, knew Jabari before he knew Patrice. Anthony recalls when he met Jabari, he would confide in him some personal things he was going through when he left the military. Jabari was always supportive.
He didn't hold that against me that I had issues. He told me how I could do better. And he's always been a motivator. He was my main motivator, and that's why I miss him so much.
Anthony was on the phone with Jabari just a few minutes before the attack. They were discussing a Christmas gift exchange the family had organized. The two were joking around about Jabari needing to come by and pick up his gift.
You know, I told him, you need to come over here and get it. You know, I ain't bringing it to you. It's your gift. You know, okay, I'm coming to get it. You better have it ready, you know, is what he said, you know. And not 3 minutes later, out of the bathroom, my wife was running through the house saying that, you know, we got to go. And I was like, what happened? And she said, Jabari's just been shot. I said, I just hung up the phone with him. You know what I mean? And that was the last time I spoke with him.
Here's what Patrice and Anthony say they do know. On January 4th, around 7 p.m., there was a knock on Jabari's door. His uncle, who lived with him, answered. Three people pushed their way in and, after a struggle, shot Jabari multiple times. His uncle has since moved out of the state. With little details, it leaves the couple in a difficult spot.
We're here, but we aren't here. You know what I mean? That's like all that I was doing as far as working in the community, all the things that I wanted to do and all the desires that I had, it's empty. It's just, you know, so I don't feel as connected because Jabari isn't here. I want to leave. My wife wants to leave. But we also want to be here because we want to find out what happened. And I know, the history, the family needs to be present once they find out what happens, once they start going to court, because we want justice. And we want to be there, and we want to let, you know, the district attorney know, and all, you know, all the people, the judges and everybody know that Jabari had family and he was a great man.
But it's difficult to say when someone might be brought to justice, which is the hardest part.
The not knowing. All around, and not knowing what happened, and not knowing whether or not they're coming close to or whether they have tangible information, that also makes it very challenging. I don't believe that the process of grieving can begin until there's closure as to what happened and why it happened.
Patrice says Jabari loved music and dancing. He had an entertainment company called Small Giant. In his memory, Patrice has formed the Small Giant Foundation, an organization she hopes will reach out to teens about violence.
But what I really want the community to know is that I feel like I've been guilty. And the one thing that I've been guilty of is not getting involved until it affected me. Hearing stories, and you get so immune to hearing things going on the news and just being detached and feeling like this is what is happening to other people. It's just not that way. This was a man who was going to work, who paid his bills, who someone felt that if he by him living in a home and driving a nice vehicle, that he was doing something worth coming into his home to take. And that just, that can happen to any of us.
But before she can really throw herself into the organization, she says, she needs to find some answers about her brother's death. She hasn't deleted his phone number and points out to a text exchange they had over Christmas. The message he sent to her says, "Merry Christmas. Love you."
You and I said, "Merry Christmas. I love you more than you'll ever know." And I don't know what made me say it that way, but I'm glad I did. Little did I know that, you know, I would find out that it, you know, is more than I'll ever know, because
she trails off here and pauses and then softly says, "And that's the truth for both of us." For WFAE News, I'm Sarah D'Elia in Charlotte.